Good evening, I'm Christian Esquera, and welcome to this episode of After the Fact, where we get to see things more clearly, where we get a better sense of the truth. Let's begin by dissecting the news. A digital art by political cartoonist Tarantadong Calbo set off some passionate exchanges online. The image was that of an Armalite being painted pink, the political or campaign color of Vice President Leni Robredo. It came after Robredo said in a military briefing that she was, quote, all for the mandate and functions of the NTF LCAC, a powerful body headed by President Duterte and which has been blamed for intense red baiting of activists and political opponents, particularly after peace talks with communist rebels bogged down. Activists identified with the NotDems criticized Robredo's seeming turnaround, especially since she had also said that the task force had to be abolished. But her supporters are defending her position on the NTF LCAC just as passionately, arguing that this infighting within non-Marcos and non-Duterte forces is not helping their cause. Tonight, we'll look closely into the government's anti-insurgency program as a major campaign issue that each presidential candidate will eventually have to talk about. Be part of our discussion. Send us your questions and comments on our YouTube live chat or tweet us using the hashtag ANCAfterTheFact. Joining us tonight is Bayan Muna Partidist Representative Ferdinand Gaite. Also with us is Mr. Carlos Conde of the Human Rights Watch. Good evening, gentlemen, and thank you for joining us on the program.
Good evening, Christian. Thank you.
Good evening, Christian. Good evening, Carlos.
Okay, let's start with Congressman Gaite. What do you think of that statement issued by Vice President Leni Robredo, which was construed by some people as a turnaround compared to her previous statement regarding the NTF LCAC?
Well, definitely she should really clarify her position because it's sabi ng iba, it's a turnaround from her initial statement when she said that the NTF LCAC or the National Task Force to End Local Communist Armed Conflict should be abolished. But when she spoke with the top echelon of the AFP, apparently she was only say she now said that she believes in the principles of the NTF LCAC, but some people involved in the NTF LCAC were probably not doing the right things or saying the right things. Kaya she was saying na pwedeng aralin ito, but again, no, this is a turnaround, and even a statement attributed to Nery Colmenares, essentially, ganun yung kanyang sinabi, that she should stand her ground despite itong, again, no, I believe even the military, no, are parang raising their, ano tawag doon, yung inaalarma nila, no, yung sitwasyon para for the vice president to side with them in the issue of the NTF LCAC.
Okay. Kaloy, they also see it that way.
Well, if you compare the two statements, I mean, it would seem that she, you know, she did make a turnaround. And of course, from a human rights perspective and from the perspective of the activists who have been victimized by red tagging of the LCAC, NTF LCAC, that is very, very disappointing. But I think also at the same time that this issue, this being a campaign as well, and this candidate, VP Robredo, having only a few, you know, probably haven't really dived deep into the issue, should be, I think, discussed with a lot more nuance than the statements being said in front of generals or in front of of her constituents. I think the issue of the insurgency, the counterinsurgency, and all the other issues of human rights violations need to be discussed with again, as I said, nuance. So my view is that as I've said, she is going to inherit, if she wins, she is going to inherit an agency that has been bedeviled with a lot of human rights abuses. And so, it's a lot on her hands, if ever. But on the other hand, you know, the instinct would be to abolish that agency because it has done a lot of these things that, justify the abolition of the NTF LCAC. But at the same time, she will have to contend with the reality that she is going to handle or to deal with the insurgency. So how does she do that? So again, a lot more nuance, a lot more probably careful calibration of the statements.
Okay. By the way, we invited the DILG Undersecretary Jonathan Malaya to join this conversation, but unfortunately, he said he was not feeling well. Anyway, how do you think this this latest statement by Vice President Leon Robredo could affect her credibility as a candidate running for president? Kaloy first.
Well, you know, it really depends. I think it's too early to say that this is going to, I mean, regardless of what people say, like tarantadong kalbo or what, I think it's too early to say that this is going to make a huge dent on his on her campaign, on her readability and things like that. I mean, she has a lot of time to try to finesse probably her statement and try to make clearer her stand on this matter. I mean, she has to contend with the fact that the insurgency is not a, you know, it's not a black and white thing. She has to also deal with the reality that as has been propounded by many activists from the left, the issue, the insurgency issue, is a much more complicated issue that deals with poverty and all of that. So, you know, she has a long way to ahead of her to try to expound this thing. So I think apart from this, I don't see this as harming her credibility, but I would look at this as an opportunity for her to fine tune her her views about the insurgency.
Okay. Congressman Gaita, you said that she would have to clarify her last statement or latest statement regarding this. But that portion when where she said she was one with you in the challenge of defeating the insurgency problem by addressing the core of these problems and the peripheral issues surrounding it, isn't that clear enough? Because I think that's also, that doesn't that also jive with what, let's say, the left wants to happen when it comes to addressing this problem? We just go to the root. Congressman Gaita.
Well, yes, thank you. Christian, misa kasi we, how to address the problem, ang sinasabi, the insurgency as a problem. Sometimes the appreciation is that, is it the cause or the effect? When it is deemed as a cause or a problem in itself, then hindi na nakikita how more comprehensively it should be addressed. So sinasabi, insurgency as a problem. But what, again, babalik ka, what are the root causes of the problem? And paulit-ulit na sinasabi, and this has been going on for the last decades, the poverty, the lack of justice, the lack of genuine representation by democratic representation of the people. So kailangan talagang we have to challenge all these candidates. And I read a good article that all these candidates are not gods, no? They are applicants for positions. So they must readily be clear on their positions on these concerns. Alam natin, Duterte, maraming na-expose na yung not only the red tagging, but more seriously, the extrajudicial killings that have been happening in our country, not only in the drug-related cases, but also the activists, no? And more recently, ito na nga, mga sunod-sunod na mga patayan. So, these candidates, including Vice President Lenny, must differentiate herself from the current administration by making a clear break from the fascist rule that is being implemented now under the
Duterte. So if Vice President Leon Robredo again reiterates, clearly says that if she wins the presidency, she would abolish this body, would that be clear enough for you? And well, would that differentiate her from the other candidates?
Yes. Again, you know, the usual problem that we have, maaaring abolish, but there might be another monster that will be created afterwards, no? And we do not want that. Okay. But instead, liban sa pag-abolish, dapat may clear program how to address the problem, the armed conflict, in the context of the socio-political economic conditions. And only then, which is why even all the candidates, at the minimum, all those who are opposed to fascism, opposed to dictatorship, of course, excluded kagad, yung Marcoses, yung mga Dutertes, then we can have a clear perspective of what we would like to see, how these presidentiables, if there's such a word, will pursue their program of government.
Okay. Hello.
Okay, go ahead.
I think abolishing the entire Philcat is the easy way out. You know, I mean, it's the easiest thing to do for any government, for any president to do when he or she wins. I mean, the harder work really is in making sure that accountability for all the abuses that have been attributed to the NTFL-CAC is done, and you know, and that will lead, you know, to a better rights-respecting counterinsurgency campaign or program. You know, I think. Sabi nga ni Kong Ferdy kanina, if you abolish the NTFL-CAC now, a new entity will come up and probably will be doing the same thing or probably even worse, which is why I always believe that more than abolishing it, there has to be accountability. Those who are running this task force must be held to account to the people so that the next task forces, medyo, they're warned na. And if I may add also, I mean, of all the candidates, see, Vice President Leni Robredo, she has a background in human rights. She's a lawyer. She knows how these things work. And I think she, among the other, she compared to the others, is in a better position to really, you know, rethink, even early in this campaign, to rethink the way we're dealing with the insurgency, you know, problem, with all this strap that we're seeing from the communists. She would be in the best position to do that. And, you know, we, as I said earlier, we still have a lot of time. She still has a lot of time to show how, you know, her ideas about it and how she's going to do that. Again, compared to the other candidates, if I may say so.
Okay. In the first place, is there anything fundamentally wrong with the mandate of the NTFL-CAC? Taloy.
Yeah, well, there is. I mean, it's... The fact that pinaghalo-halo na nila kung ano yung gustong gawin ng NTFL-CAC niyan, you know, with a lot of money at their disposal being given directly to the local government units in an election year, that tells you a lot about how this program is going to, you know, is going to be mismanaged, how it's going to fail, and it's something that you can't fault people for thinking na mukhang the Duterte administration just came up with this task force to justify disbursing all of this money.
Is that a problem with the mandate or a problem with the way that mandate was misinterpreted or implemented?
Well, if you really must be technical about this, Christian, I mean, the mandate of the NTFL-CAC, regardless of what we think about this, is to deal with the insurgency. Yeah. Any president will be forced to deal with the insurgency. Yeah. And so that's the mandate. It's really how they're doing it that's the question. I mean, from our perspective, from a human rights and international humanitarian law perspective, this mandate has been abused by succeeding governments because it's been violating the rights of people. I mean, we talk about NTFL-CAC now, but we also talk about Oplan Bantaylaya before and all the other Oplans that were really, really, really showed a lot of violation of human rights and, you know, it didn't work. So, you know, it's I think the mandate is clear. Any government will be forced, will be, you know, will have that mandate. It's just the way they're doing it that's wrong. Okay. So that, and I think that's how that needs to change.
Okay, Congressman Gaite, yes, what do you think is fundamentally wrong with the NTFL-CAC?
Well, Christian, una yung it's how it violated the ISIC. The first 9 sections of our Bill of Rights. The no person shall be deprived of life, liberty, or property, the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, etc. No? So, and that's what the NTFL-CAC has been doing for the past several years, since 2018 when it was created under Executive Order No. 70. And as the term in the name of the agency, National Task Force. It is simply a task force. It's not even a regular agency, not created by law, but mere administrative or executive order by Duterte. So to give it so much funds, no? Dati, I think they only have, in 2019, they wala pa silang funds because they were only utilizing funds from the respective agencies included in the task force, 16 million. Then it ballooned to 1 billion. Then 16 billion, and now, originally it was 28 billion, but was slashed supposedly to 4 billion. But now, based on the reports, the Senate raised it back to 10 billion.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it should, it should not even be given 1 centavo or 1 peso. No? Dahil, tama'y sinabi ni Caloy, no? Yung usapin accountability, no? In the utilization of these funds, the function. Then if we are giving hard-earned taxes by workers to this this agency, it must show something for its efforts, not red tagging, not extrajudicial killings, not illegal arrests.
In the first place, how does the NTF-ELTAC relate with the other agencies that are supposed to have their own programs and projects that collectively considered would also address essentially the root causes of the armed insurgency? I mean, dumabas pa yan sa mga discussions, sa mga committee hearings, sa budget deliberations, Congressman Gaite? And anong yes, sagot sa inyo?
Ang lagi nila, if you will read the Executive Order 70, no, ang kanilang parang mantra, yung whole of nation approach.
Yeah.
Kaya nga, maraming agencies supposedly are involved. No? And hindi daw lang to quote-unquote military solution. Kung hindi, yan nga, using all resources, all programs of the government to address the problem of insurgency. So, medyo ano rin, ano, sa totoo lamang, tama naman na i-address mo yung problema sa ganitong comprehensive or holistic approach. But what is more paramount now is the use of the military approach. No? As you already observed, even during this pandemic, instead of addressing the problem as a health problem, ginawang militaristang solusyon. Sa dami ng mga utak pulbura na sa loob ng kabinete ni Pangulong Duterte, not surprising because all of them are practically former generals, former police officers, and now they're managing this problem of the pandemic and also the how to address the insurgency. Then you would expect that ito na nga, no? Nangyayari nga ngayon na kunyari merong economic programs, may social programs, but the more prominent or predominant manner in which the supposed insurgency problem is being addressed is through a military and kamay na bakal na solusyon.
Okay. Caloy, since there have been a lot of problems with the way the NTF-ELCAC has been implementing its mandate, what do you think would be a better solution? Let's say, in case that is abolished by the next president can easily do that, right? But what would be a good alternative? And do you agree that there should be a coordinating body that would get all these agencies and instrumentalities of government together?
Well, you know, I'm not presumptuous enough to prescribe a better solution to all of this. I mean, this is something that has been tackled for decades by the government and by the insurgent groups, you know, in peace talks here and abroad. You know, they have, you know, there's this whole process that they've undergone since 1996 about how to end the communist insurgency. They have all this agenda. They have all of this. So, I mean, you know, on paper, you see them, you see how, you know, you see the appreciation of the problem and what they think should be the solution to the problem. But there's never been, I think, a meeting of the minds in these negotiations. You know, we have to keep in mind, for instance, that the peace talks with the communists, this was fast-tracked by President Fidel Ramos in 1996 because he needed to show something to the public, to the international community about, you know, about having peace because of his, you know, remember, newly industrialized country sat program in NIC 2000, yeah, and he needed to show something. And in fact, marami nga nagsasabi na in the six substantive agenda that governs the peace talks, medyo nadihado ang posisyon ng gobyerno doon because mas nanaig daw yung posisyon ng National Democratic Front. And if you read it, you know, it's true because, for instance, in the matter of the comprehensive agreement on socio-economic reforms, which is now being discussed among the substantive agendas of in the peace process, I mean, it's practically like an overhaul of the economic system of the country. And if you are coming from the position of government, you'll think that bakit pumayag ang gobyerno dito sa CASER agreement na to? You know, a lot of inside stuff, a lot of inside baseball. But the point I'm trying to make is that the peace process between the government and the National Democratic Front, you know, it has gone on for far too long, and I think there doesn't seem to be a meeting of the minds, especially after Fidel Ramos. So in short, I don't know what to do. Okay. I mean, obviously the reasonable thing to do is for this country to improve its economy so that people are less, you know, so that suffering becomes lesser, people will improve their livelihood. And you know, in many other countries where insurgency was rife, you know, economic development was always the solution.
And basically make the taking up of arms irrelevant since you won't have any reason to do so anymore. Okay. Now, before I go to the other issues related to how the next president should address the problem with the communist insurgency, Congressman Gaite, by the way, this quote-unquote turnaround by the vice president, which was how you described it earlier, does this now further discourage your group, your bloc, the Makabayan bloc, from considering throwing support behind her candidacy in 2022?
We will still be engaging the vice president because tulad na sinabi ko kanina, no? They are not gods, but we should engage them on their positions, on their platform of government, no? And I think this is a very grave concern, the issue of the peace process, the ongoing armed conflict in our country. I think all candidates should have a clear position on that matter, no? Because we too want peace. Lahat naman tayo siguro, no? And there were positive efforts in the past. I think there was the yung nga nabanggit yung peace talks during President Fidel Ramos, nagkaroon ng Carhill comprehensive agreement for international humanitarian law. And they were already in the process of the negotiations for the CASEL, Comprehensive Agreement for Socioeconomic Reforms. And as you said, Christian, you address the economic problem, the which is the root causes of the armed struggle, then you answer the problem. And I think that's what we would like to achieve. And we would like that for all the presidents, not only VP Lenny, for all the presidential candidates to make their position known on that matter.
I suppose you want the next president to immediately resume formal peace negotiations with the NDFP, right? Congressman Gaite, is that correct?
Definitely. That's a matter of fact. We did file a resolution when the talks bogged down that both parties should return to the negotiating table.
Okay. I just want to get that out of the way. But how do you make things different in terms of dealing with the next president, when in fact under President Duterte, actually I think compared to previous presidents, he showed the most earnestness to fast track the peace negotiations. Even before he started occupying the position formally, he started talking with the NDFP informally, right? And then masyado naging mobilization yung proseso. And then you guys cooperated, but eventually there was a different outcome. So how can you now reasonably expect a different outcome in terms of dealing with the next president here?
Well, of course, first, dapat malinaw yung program, no? Whether it is in the context of the proposed NDFP CASEL, for as long as it will achieve the yung economic justice that people are looking for, yung pagkakaroon ng as basic, huwag na tayo masyadong palawig, no? Usapin ng jobs, usapin ng nakabubuhay na sahod sa ating mga magsasaka, and I think this was part of the proposal under CASER, the genuine agrarian land reform, the free distribution of land, which were all, these are basic economic programs that could have, as you said, could have addressed the armed conflict. So we hope, again, which is why nagpa-persist yung armed struggle, I believe, is because hindi nga ito na-addressed. And hopefully, any candidate or any the next president would squarely face this problem, kahit sino pa ito.
Okay.
If I may add to Christian.
Go.
I think part of the problem here is that the Philippine government has approached the insurgency situation from a pacification point of view all this time. You know, it wanted was to pacify the communists, to convince them to lay down their arms, you know, to demobilize, to surrender, basically. And from that mindset, that mindset creates a lot of problems, you know, because it is mainly a military solution. So that's why we have a lot of all of these human rights abuses related to the insurgency. That's why the state security forces are so aggressive because they want to show or they want to pacify or they want to demobilize the communist insurgency no matter what. And so at the same time, nothing much is happening from the in the economic front, which is what the public really needs, or what Filipinos really need for them to be able to, you know, for them not to be able to join the communist insurgency in the mountains or in the cities. It's armed struggle has remained an option for a lot of people, and we need to ask ourselves why. This government needs to ask itself why. It insists on a military oriented solution to the problem. I mean, the obvious reasoning is because the NPA is an armed group. I mean, that's very, very obvious. But then again, if we all agree that the underlying cause of this problem is economic, then I think it's a no-brainer if you think about it. But I don't know. It's it's been dragging on for decades that perhaps we go back to the most simple solution, which is that make the insurgency irrelevant by improving the lives of the people.
Okay. Congressman Gaite, among the presidential candidates for 2022, who do you think so far is showing most promise as far as effectively addressing this this insurgency issue or problem in case he or she wins in 2022?
Well, we have not the complete opportunity to ask their position on this matter, but I read somewhere in an article, I think Raptor, regarding the positions of the various candidates. No? And, we were very pleased with the initial statements of VP Denny, no? When she said she was for the abolition and the pursuit for genuine peace talks that will help address the problem, the armed conflict. I believe the other candidates, Isko Moreno and Manny Pacquiao, I am not so sure if they made the concrete positions on the matter. We're limiting the candidates who are, we call them anti-administration candidates. Definitely not the Marcoses, definitely not the Dutertes, not Bongo. So for now, that is what we know in terms of their positions on the issue of the armed conflict.
Okay, Congressman Ferdinand Gaite and Mr. Caloy Conde, thank you, gentlemen, for joining us tonight on the program.
Thank you, Christian, for having us.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Christian. Thank you, Carlos.
We're taking a short break. After the fact, we'll be right back.